All right. So once again, good evening, everyone. I trust we are all doing great. I trust we are all doing great. Yeah, Peter, you're welcome. I just saw your response now. So I will just quickly move into what we need to discuss about. But before I do that, I just want to just still encourage us, okay? You see, in this period of fasting, in this period of prayer, I want you to know that what God is actually doing is not just tied to just a platform alone. It is not just locked up to a specific kind of people. Yes, although there's a specificity, but I want you to know that the burden, the stirring of the spirit you are sensing, that many others are also sensing it. So your advantage lies in your ability to be able to align or make yourself available for the spirit of God to brood upon. Because in times and seasons where the spirit of God begin to put burden upon people, burden to pray, burden to seek the Lord, burden to seek his face, burden to go into fasting, I want you to know that these are actually signs and indication of many times a roll call, and other time it is like a valve, a vacuum that has been created in the spirit, and as such, sons of God are being summoned in seasons, most especially in seasons such as this, to come into to come into places of to come into places of occupancy. I don't know if that English is correct, but that's the word I could just feel, or will I say will best describe what I want to say, to come into a place of occupancy, to come into a place where they can occupy a spiritual position. The Bible speaking says that I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord, into the mountain of the Lord. And he says, my feet shall stand within Jerusalem's gates, that Jerusalem is a city that is compacted together, wherein the tribe go up to. Yes, the tribe go up to it. And when you come up to that mountain, the psalmist then described further that they are set thrones of judgment. They are set thrones of the house of David. So it then means that upon the mountain of God, there are sittings. This is Tehillah Hills. It is a hill. It is the mountain of the Lord. I could remember the last time I preached here, this was actually same thing, similar thing I was saying. This is the hill of the Lord. And I want you to know that upon the hill of the Lord, there are sittings. There are sittings, there are thrones, there are spaces that, or will I say, places of authority that we need to come into to occupy. So in time where the Lord is calling us to fast, calling us to into fasting, into praying, it is because he wants to put something new. To some, it is a weight he wants to add upon us. To some of us, it is capacity that needs to be forged within us. To some of us, it's another measure of authority that we need to be able to wage war against the spiritual wickedness that are in high places. Are we together? To wage war against the spiritual wickedness that are in high places. So there is a great need. There's a great need for us to yield ourselves the more. Because you see, I was telling somebody yesterday that if you don't really, that many times you can fast and pray, but the power of it is in when you have gotten the understanding of what you are doing. So you can be fasting, you can be praying, you can be fasting and praying and studying and still don't know what you are really looking for, or don't really know, or maybe peradventure it was the Lord that summoned you into that fast. You may be in that fast and not really on will I say, sense the power that is being generated out of what you are doing until understanding start to come. That is why many times after a 21 days fast, after a 7 day fast, 11 days fast, you realize that you can still sense the unction. I heard of somebody, or I mean somebody was speaking to me that fasted. In fact, the person I was telling this thing finished a fast, and he was telling me that as he was fasting, the more he was going in the fast, he was not sensing the anointing. He was not, as in everything was just going down. I just say it was just that thing you're experiencing is just because you lack understanding of what the Lord is doing with you. So the area that you are looking at is not really where the Lord is pointing to. And the presence of the Lord will always be where he is. So many more times when you can't sense his presence, it's just a sign that you are not where he is. Yes, I know God cannot leave you. God cannot leave you, but God is always on emotion. There is a place he's standing in your life. And anytime you come into that place, that is where you will sense his presence. The goal of fasting and studying and prayer is to bring us into a point where we gain alignment, where we get fine-tuned into what God is doing, into what God is saying and doing in our life. Fasting and prayer, like same as the law, as that's in Romans 10, Paul was speaking about the law, that the end of the law is Christ. So the end of everything we do is that we encounter the Christ. Are we together? The end of everything we do is that we come into an encounter. The end of the law is the Christ. So Paul even saying, Paul speaking says that the end of the law, the children of Israel, they are trying to keep the law. They are trying to keep the law, as in trying to walk their way through, not knowing that the end of the law is Christ. The end of the law is a person. So they actually thought that the end of the law is just that they should just walk. They should just do the fasting when it is time, do the Sabbath when it is time, not knowing that all of those things are actually pointers to a person. So a believer can be praying and don't really know that his prayer ought to bring him to a place of encounter. Even Jesus speaking says that if you continue in my teaching, so is a continuum, is in the continuity you get to discover it. You get to discover the Christ. So he said, if you continue in my teaching, then you will come to that point where you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. That truth will set you free. Are we together? That truth is going to make you free. That truth is going to set you free. You will be set free because you encountered the truth. And Jesus speaking says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is a person. The truth is a personality. The truth is an individual, is a person. So all of what we do in the kingdom, all of what we do is to manifest a person, is to encounter a person, is to reveal a person. There are patterns in Christ Jesus. And that is what teaching are meant to fine-tune you. Yes, like to many of us now, what this teaching is going to do to you is that it is going to fine-tune your heart, fine-tune your soul, fine-tune your spiritual senses, and bring you into a consciousness of what you are doing. That is why teaching are not the end of it. They are the means to an end. Prayer is not the end of it. It is the means to an end. Fasting is not the end of it. It is the means to an end. I am bringing this emphasis to let you know that this thing you are sensing now has been ongoing for quite a while now. For like about 3 months now, we have been sensing a transition in the spirit, and we have been following it, following this thing in prayer. We'll go 21 days, go another one, and at the end of it, the Holy Spirit say, this thing prepared you for this phase. This thing is preparing you for this next phase. And we'll get to this junction, and there will still be another one. This thing is preparing you for this next phase. And the time came that some of us had to start moving out. We'll go to this place, following the leadings and instruction of the Spirit, until a time now came that some of the things that we, as in, were looking at in the Spirit, now started settling down. We could now sense them. We could now touch them. In the book of John, chapter 1, as in the first letter of John, the Bible speaking says that which we have seen, which we have heard, and have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, this is what we bring unto you. Amen. He said, that which you have seen, which you have heard, which you have handled of the word of life. First of all, is that which you have seen. And if you notice the progression of what I was saying, I started talking about that which we saw, which we are sensing in the spirit. We have looked upon it, our hand have handled. But what brings us through those stages that we now came to a point where we could now sense the unction now resting the way it should, or the way we've seen it in the spirit, was the processes we went through. We're following in obedience, going through this route, going to this place. Sometimes we have to move out of our current location to pray in some certain places. I'm just showing you the route, the route by which the Lord is leading you through, and is going to lead you through, if you will come into that point where you will experience the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. There is what is called the route of obedience. The Bible speaking of Jesus in the book of Philippians, in the previous chapter before the chapter that we will read, the Bible speaking says that he was in the form of God, counted robbery to be equal with God, but he emptied himself. I think he learned obedience. I'm just paraphrasing the scripture. I think we'll have to open that scripture. That's Philippians 2 from verse 5. Anybody there should just paste the scripture 2 from verse 5. We are building according to a pattern. Okay. So anybody there should just paste it. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is just what I wanted you to see. He became obedient. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. So it means that obedience leads you through a pathway. Obedience is not just that they say, don't do this and you don't do that. Obedience is a movement in the spirit. It is a motion. Anytime God leads you or tells you to do this and you move in that direction, you are actually moving according to a pathway. You are moving in a pathway in the spirit. And that is what you will now see in other scripture, our anchor scripture. In Philippians 3, verse 10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. There is a fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. This is what many believers don't like to hear about. Many people like the enjoyment part, the part where God provides for you, you ask, he answers you. But many people don't like the part of the suffering. Anytime people hear about the suffering or hear about the glory, they are excited. But when you talk about the suffering, they are not excited. And the reason for that is because we haven't really known the path of obedience. Obedience will lead you through a path. Obedience will lead you through the way of the cross. Many people are not going through the way of the... You won't experience the power of the resurrection if you don't embrace the way of the cross. Yes, if you don't really embrace the way of the cross, you won't really come into that place where you will experience the power of his resurrection. It is in that experience. The experience doesn't just leave you in the glory. It pushes you or brings you into a place where you come into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And the goal of it is so that the image of the Christ, the image of the eternal one can be formed inside of you. The Bible says, if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Yes, he said, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, that they may not behold the glorious gospel. And what is that glorious gospel? It is the knowledge of the Christ. He said, that I may know him. If you go to the previous verses, I just want to be fast so that we'll cover a lot. So please, just anybody there should just help me paste that scripture. Yes, I'm reading my Bible here. So you should just paste that scripture there. Look at what I'm saying. There is an infusion or an imprint of the image of the Christ that is crested upon, that will be crested upon your soul as you start to move along the path of obedience. Hallelujah.
Come on, just pray for some minutes. Shala baro atata babota baruate babuaske babula tala basuta. Ababarata batabroto babaruata tela babuaske babula kabo. Amen. So look at this. This is what I'm trying to describe. The Bible speaking says that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I can still say in the image of Christ. So what we are being fashioned into is the image of the Christ. This light has shone in darkness. This light, the same God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone the same light into our heart. But this time around is to bring us into a knowledge. So the pathway and the route by which God brings us into his image, into the image of God, it is via light. And you see, I'm talking about obedience. I'm emphasizing obedience because you can have bunch of revelation. You can have bunch of revelation. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ma. You can have so much revelation and still yet You can have so much revelation and still yet not be walking in the reality of it. Because to every rhema you receive, there is an obedience that brings you into fusion with that revelation. Like now, I know many people hear this thing I'm saying, and few people will go to practice it. Few people will go to you to it. That is the obedience. Obedience, like I said, is not just when they say do this and you do it, or don't do this and you don't do it. Many more times, when God brings you into a new revelation, He ought that you yield and submit yourself to it. The Bible speaking says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. So every high thing may not always be a spiritual thing. It can be you that is refusing to bow to the current revelation that God is bringing into your life. Are we together? It may be you that is refusing to bow, to submit yourself to you, to the Lord in obedience. He's bringing you into a new revelation, but you are not yielding to that revelation. You are not submitting yourself to that revelation. He's calling you into fasting. You are not yielding yourself to that fast. You are not yielding yourself to that fast. He's calling you into prayer. You are not yielding yourself into that prayer. That is the obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, most especially when God makes demand of it. When God doesn't make demand of it, then it's just maybe your normal exercise, your normal daily routine. But when God say, when you are praying and God say pray, that prayer you are praying and the one God say you should pray, there is a big, the difference between that is that at that point, your prayer ceases to be a prayer. It then becomes a priesthood. And priesthood is not just a thing you do to keep your family like Job. No, it is not just what you do to keep your family. It is not just what you do to keep your life in a place of security. No, I know many times when people talk about priesthood or talk about prayer, they always look at the security it brings into their life. But what I want you to know is that priesthood leads you along a path in the spirit. It leads you through a pathway in the spirit. Priesthood is obedience. Yes, it is obedience because it is sacrifice. Are you getting what I'm saying? So look at it. When you follow, look at what I'm saying. Let's go gradual. Let's not be too fast. When you look at this thing, priesthood leads you through a path. It leads you through a pathway in the spirit. Priesthood is a means by which God engraves his image upon the heart of people. That is why even at that time, the children of Israel, as in they had access just once in a year. But in that once in a year, anytime the high priest goes into that place and comes out, the Bible says that he comes and blesses, he blesses the children of Israel. Blessing is not just that, as in he's praying a good prayer over them. It is an empowerment that comes by the engraving of God's name upon the children of Israel, upon the whole tribes of Israel. And when that empowerment comes upon them, it is like a divine seal that pushes them into righteousness. That is why anytime they backslide, they tend to always profane the temple of God. Yes, anytime they continually remain in alignment, there is always an engraving of God's name upon their life. And that is because we were all created in the image and likeness of God. Yes, we're created in the image and likeness of God. So there is an imprint of God's image within us. Although man fell, but the fall of man, this is what I want to say. I'm also looking at the resurrection. The fall of man pushed man out of alignment, and as such, the process of him coming into the fullness of God could not be achieved. So right now, Christ has died, and as he has created a pathway in himself that as we continue to look into him, as we continue to come into the knowledge of him, we are being conformed into the image of God. The Bible speaking in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, he says, be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. It is the perfect will of God that we come into the knowledge of God, into the knowledge, the power of the resurrection. Paul wouldn't have prayed that prayer because the Bible says no one can call me Lord except by the Spirit of God, except by my Spirit. So no one can call God God, no one can call Jesus Lord except he's enabled, except he's energized by the Spirit. And the Bible is also speaking, says that every book in the Bible was written, that's in Peter, every book of the Bible is written by the Holy Spirit. It is written by men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They documented it under the breath of God. So I want you to know also that Paul was writing this letter not outside of the anointing, not outside of the unction. He was in the unction communicating this truth to the children of Israel, to the churches, not the children of Israel this time. He was communicating this truth to the churches. He was communicating this truth. That was even Peter. Peter speaking. Peter was the one that spoke about every book were written by the inspiration of God. By the every prophecy is written by the inspiration of God. It is written by men, but by the under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Excuse me. Amen. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, they documented it. So Paul himself was not just writing a usual writing. He was not just praying as usual. Paul was the one that even made us to understand that we know not as we should pray, how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit helped our infirmity. Part of that infirmity may be your knowledge. Part of that infirmity may be your inability to align to God. So he bypasses that your inability. He bypasses that your knowledge and begins to release an inspiration, begins to teach your mouth. The same way the Bible says, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle. Right now, your hands to war and your fingers to battle will be the utterances of your mouth. Yes, in the place of prayer, it is not that you are boxing anybody. No, it is the utterances of your mouth. The Bible says they speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there was an enablement of the Spirit of God. So Paul also was praying that prayer by the enablement of the Spirit. And he said that I may know him. It was a desire that was welling up out of his heart because of that path that he is pursuing, that pathway he is running after. There was a desire for in him that pushes him to lay down all that he has acquired before. Although he was a Pharisee, according to the law, he was a Pharisee. According to the law, he said he was blameless. If you read the previous verses before then, he said a whole lot of stuff. He said, oh my God, I don't want to make this verse no long. According to the things he's pursuing, according to the glory that is set before him, he's dropping down everything. He's counting all but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of God. So when we are now looking at the knowledge of God, he now brought us to a point, and that is the point I love the most, and that's our anchor scripture. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus says that I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. When you talk about the resurrection, it will bring you to a point where you start to talk about immortality. And that this is actually part of the things that people don't, as in the church don't want to preach about, because many people that talked about it later on, they died. You see, but you see, by faith, all of these people are still alive. All of these people still live because their witness is still spreading, and there are people that are operating this thing. If you search about Myles of Kylie, Sadducee Saint met him, and that's the person that mentored Sadducee Savaras as well. That man, as of the last time I heard of him, they say that man has lived over 400 years. And currently there is a man in Nigeria that has lived up to his 100 now. He should be going into his 100 now. This thing, and he is a minister of God. That man is still traveling. That man is still holding crusade till this time. He's a man in Benue State. So these are actually measures of the eternal life, measures of the resurrection life that God has actually put inside of us. You can't fully talk about these things if you can't completely talk about the resurrection, if you don't really talk about immortality, because the Christ, the God we are following, is the immortal one. He's the immortal one. He's an immortal being. Christ now in heaven is an immortal being. And the Bible says, as he is in heaven, so are we in this life. Are we together? So are we in this life. As he is in heaven, so are we here on earth. He said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. I'm tempted to go back to 1 Corinthians, because Corinthians 15 spoke a lot about the resurrection. You see, the reason why many people are still fighting curses, the reason why many people are still, like, their major problem is the curses in their house. And why they will continue to fight those causes, it is because until you start to recognize the function and the operation of God's life in you, you may never come out of causes. Because where there is cause, it means that there is death in that place. The Bible speaking in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the laws of sin and death. Mind you, he said, who walk not, there is no condemnation to them, there is no cause on them, who walk not by the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. They pursue after the Spirit. They are following the Spirit of God. It means that, okay, same way in the book of Kings, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Kings, where they okay, no, that's not Kings. I think I'll take that scripture where they say the shout of the king is in the midst of them. I'll take the scripture. This is what the Bible says, that there's no enchantment. Okay. Yeah, that was the words of Balaam. He said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. No divination will stand against them because the shout of the king is in the midst of them. And before he said that, he said he's seen Israel encamped. There was a description. And in that description, he speaks that the children of Israel were in their camp. They were in alignment. And because they were in alignment, the shout of the Lord was in the midst of them. Paul speaking about this thing, he said, how come you think that which is, because there were some argument in the Corinthians church that how will one be raised from the dead, how will one be brought back to life, and all of those things. He told them that, don't you know that what is sown is not what is reaped? If you plant a seed, you are going to reap another thing, because that one will die. What you now see is another life, that you sow a corrupted body, but you reaped that which is not corrupt. There is a portion of the scripture I would have wanted us to see, but time will not permit us. In that place, Paul said he groans inside of him that he may be clothed with life. There are clothings in the Spirit. There are garments in the Spirit. And these are the things we must desire so much to put upon. He said, not that we want to wear this thing when we go to the other, to go to heaven. No, it is what his desire is, that he should be clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle. Kai, are we together? He said he wants to be clothed with that heavenly tabernacle. He says in Corinthians, if you go back to Corinthians, the Bible then says towards the ending that mortality has been swallowed up in immortality. This is actually an experience that is in the resurrection. That is the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is in its ability to be able to immortalize the body of a man. But I used to say this thing, that part of the first place we should start to exercise this truth is in our physical body, is in our physical health. This thing is actually pointing us back to what Christ has done, what Christ has accomplished. The knowledge of the resurrection, the knowledge of the power of the resurrection, it is the fullness of the cross. It is the fullness of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. The Bible said, while we were sinners, he died. The Bible spoke about how that he gave us health. By his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, we were made healed. That was what Peter emphasized. By his stripes, we were made healed. He did not even say that he was healed, that they were healed. He was preaching to them, because this thing they are talking about, it is what he has entered into. It is what his hand has handled. What we saw John experiencing in throughout his life, as his history captured, they say he was persecuted, he was thrown into water, thrown into fire, but all of those things could not kill him. Not because Christ said he will live forever. No, it is because there was a life that was at work in him. Mind you, they never said he cried. Mind you, they never say he shouted when he was they dragged the guy and throwed him to the island of Patmos. If John was depressed in that state, he wouldn't have had those encounters. Yes, because a depressed heart can never perceive the speakings of God. The speakings of God are only given unto them that sustain his peace within them. These are part of the allotment that comes with the resurrection, with the impute of the resurrection life into you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is, these are actually elements, or will I call them pillars, that are
that are built into us, that become a kind of an ecosystem that enable us interact with the realm of the kingdom. If we don't know this thing, we will not come into the fullness, into the full knowledge of the power of the resurrection, because the resurrection could not be until there was a death on the cross. And when there was a death on the cross, then a possibility for the resurrection was now created, and the resurrection brought about a possibility for ascension. And Jesus Christ resurrected with that same body, but it was a body that has been consumed, that has been absorbed by the very life of God. That is why what we have inside of us is not a measure of the Christ, it is the fullness of the Christ. What we have inside of us is not a measure, it is not a measure of God, it is the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. That is why the Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. It then means that the Christ in us, Christ living inside of us, is the full assurance that we have access to the glory of God, that we have access to the fullness of God. When the Bible now says that we have been made his righteousness, what the Bible is trying to let you know is that we have become an embodiment of the fullness of God, because Christ became that righteousness so that we all, that all that believe in him can now come into that same inheritance. Because if you come before God the way you are, you won't be accepted. And that is why provision was made for us in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we were grafted in. The Bible said that blindness was casted upon the Jewish people so that we can be engrafted in. And by our salvation, they also can be brought into it. That how will it be? How will it? How are we going to think of it? That's in Romans. I'm just paraphrasing the book of Romans. How will it be that we... that through their disobedience, life was given to us? Then what will now be if they also come into the same thing? If they also come into the same thing, what will now be? What I'm just trying to let you picture is that, what I'm trying to let you know is what we have received by we being the righteousness of God. The cross is very strange. As in the Holy Spirit told me one time that the cross is a doorway. It is not just a cross, it is not a crucifix. It is a doorway into eternal life. And the Bible says, what is eternal life? Eternal life, Jesus said, it was the very words of Jesus. That's in John 17. He says, and what is eternal life? Eternal life, John 17, eternal life is to know God and his only begotten Son, whom he has sent. And if Paul was now, is still saying that I may know him, he is also saying that I may come into that point where I will know this life so much that it will bring me into the fellowship of his suffering, that if by any means I can attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, if by any means, that is, there is a means, but he doesn't really know the means, but because the knowledge of it is what his physical mind cannot really fathom. It is what his mind cannot really capture. That is why he was saying that if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is what he was pointing, is that a point where his body can be immortalized. Same way with Christ. When Christ rose up from the dead, when you know, Christ could not die. Jesus could not die. He had to give up his ghost. He had to drop it. Just imagine that they beat you the way they beat Jesus. You won't survive. I'm telling you. You won't survive. He had to give up. He had to give up that godlike nature in him. And that is why we will always say that Christ went through all what he passed through as a man. That is why the Bible will say Christ in us is the assurance of glory. That looking up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, they were calling him Jesus and not the Christ to let you know that he accomplished that thing as a man. There's a difference between when the Bible talk about Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. It is quite different. Their point, it is the same person they are talking about, but it is diverse. It is in a different operation. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. It is a different operation. When he's talking about Jesus the Christ, Christ Jesus, it is the same person they are talking about, but the operation they are talking about in that person is actually different. Names actually speaks about realms in the spirit. Oh my God, my time is gone. Names actually speak about realms in the spirit. It speaks about dimensions. They are means of identifying realms of operation in God. Are we together? They are means of identifying diverse realms in God. So he says that if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, start this thing, start practicing this thing by applying them on your life on daily basis. Start applying them. Enough of that sickness, enough of you always rising and falling. Let there be a continuous flow of the life of God in you. Let there be a continuous flow of the life of God. I can't tell you for how long I've not taken drugs. I make that in an agreement with God. And scriptures have been coming by which I've been meditating. The problem is that you always wait for when you are sick. I declare healing over my body when I'm sick. When I'm not sick, I declare healing every day. Anytime I sense the unction and I don't know, and there's no specific thing to do with it, I declare healing over my body. I declare life over my body. It is because there is an immortal life that is at work inside of us. That is at working in us. He says that I may come into the knowledge. He said eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. How much more are you coming into the knowledge of God? How much more are you coming into the knowledge of God? It will determine and measure how much more you are participating in the sufferings of the Christ. Because this knowledge will lead you into many things. It will lead you into many dangerous pathways. It will lead you into many dangerous things. It will lead you into places that will look like death. There were many times many things were not working for us, many things were not working in our life, many things were not going well, but God keep telling us, God continue to tell us that he is activating the resurrection life in us. We should continue to prophesy resurrection to everything around our life. And we kept on speaking that. I personally kept on speaking that. It was like a direct word to me. I kept on speaking that and speaking that until this time, if I notice anything and all the things I'm seeing that looks as though they are dead, I'm still prophesying life to them. To many of you, the operations of the Spirit of God inside of you is going to come alive. It is going to come alive. It is going to wake up anew. Yes, it is going to wake up anew. While I was thinking about this meeting, I started perceiving how that there is somebody in this platform that you've gone through quite a lot of, I'm still looking at that thing. You've gone through a lot of warfare in your life, as in the past seasons. You've gone through a lot of warfare and there have been a lot of backlashes, but there is a wave of life coming into your spirit right now. There's a wave of life coming into your spirit. Life, healing is coming into your soul, into your body. I see that this thing has actually in some way weakened you in your prayer. It has weakened you in your walk in the spirit, because as you tend to move, there are a lot of pains in your spirit. There are a lot of pains in your soul, like wounds from people, wounds from friends. There are a lot of wounds. You have been wounded in the spirit through words of men, words from many, many, many people. This thing, the life of God is bringing healing into your body. You are going to experience a rejuvenation. You are going to experience a reawakening by the life of God. The Spirit of God is going to awaken you into new operations in his life. Hallelujah. Our time is fast spent. Our time is exhausted already. But this is what I want you to look at. There is a life in you. There is a life in you. It is the resurrection life. He said, eternal life is to know God and his only begotten Son, whom he has sent. The more you look at the Christ, the more you look at, go back to that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. The more you look at that scripture, the more his light beams upon your heart, and the more his image awakens inside of you. The image that you have been brought into is not the image of the Jesus you saw in the four Gospels. It is the image, it is the reality of the Jesus you are seeing in the book of Revelation. It is the reality of the Jesus that is in heaven. That is why the Bible says, as he is in heaven, so are we here on earth. As he is in heaven, so are we here on earth. So the question is, who is he in heaven? What he is, anything you get as the answer is what you are. Forget about trying to know your calling, your assignment. What he is in heaven, that is what you are on earth. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this great time. Yes, I could perceive over Mama Patience. You know, she's our mother and she's our teacher as well, right from school. I could perceive the Lord opening your eyes further to his patterns in the spirit.
you are going to begin to build like Paul, like a wise master builder. Yes, I even felt that already you are picking up those things. You're already picking up patterns and patterns for building, for building this platform. The Spirit of God is the one opening your eyes to those patterns. Yes, opening your eyes to those patterns. They may not be as vivid as visions like that. They may be, but He's opening your eyes to see certain patterns in the Spirit. And it is that is what you are to craft upon this place. That is what you are to shape. Yes, your shape into reality. Yes, the Spirit of God is, I could perceive sight, a light emitting out of your eyes. And He was emphasizing that it is sight into patterns. It is sight into structures in the Spirit that you're going to build into. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is a lifting for us. It is a lifting for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I declare a shift over this place. I declare a shift over everyone under the sound of my voice, hearing me right now. I declare a shift over their life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare shift over your seasons. Yes, I could perceive some of you have not been able to move through, as in you've moved in your seasons. You've completed the measure God has given to you, but you have not been able to move. You have not been able to go into the next phase. Right now, there's a shift coming into your life. I'm executing a shift over your life right now. I move you forward in the name of Jesus. That which has been built around your life by the intelligence of demonic spirit, demonic principalities, right now I declare that by the Spirit of God, I join with you and we break through in the Spirit. I break through for you in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That revelation that I see today, I declare a breakthrough. I declare a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I declare a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. The site that has been attacked, I declare a breakthrough in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Shalom.